Hi guys, and welcome back to the Mystery and Comedy Old Time Radio Podcast. Please join me as I bring to the show to finish off our Christmas Spectacular Part 2 in our holiday season, New Year's Day Part 2. In this first episode, we find a doctor who has done the unthinkable and has a split decision to do when all of a sudden a well-known patient dies at his hospital. So he is forced to choose between the woman he has fallen in love with or ignoring his Hippocratic oath. And it is called The Decision. And in this next episode, starring real-life couple George and Gracie Burns in the NBC comedy show Burns and Allen. In this, we find the couple celebrating New Year's with their friends when all of a sudden Mrs. Burns ends up finding out that she hasn't mailed the invitations to the New Year's Eve party. So she goes throughout the town asking anyone and everyone on their list if they can come to that party. So when her luck is almost out, she has a wonderful idea. She is going to throw a New Year's Eve party early and make George think that it's New Year's Eve. But unfortunately for her, George is not enjoying himself as he falls asleep on several occasions throughout the night. And it is called the George Burns and Allen Show New Year's Eve. And then stay tuned after the show to hear Mr. Frank Sinatra and Mr. Bing Crosby featuring the Andrews Sisters and Mr. Nat King Cole as they sing a couple of New Year's Eve songs. New Year's Day. Sorry. But I hope you guys enjoy the show nonetheless. And always remember, guys, to enjoy the show. Thanks.
The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
And I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for The Whistler. And remember, let every traffic signal remind you, with new Signal gasoline, you do go farther than ever. Look for the familiar big yellow and black circle sign that identifies those popular Signal service stations in 7 western states from Canada to Mexico. And now the Whistler's strange story, Decision.
Months later, when he finally got a chance to think about it clearly, he decided that if it hadn't happened so suddenly, It might not have happened at all. It was April, of course. That might have had something to do with it. The rhododendrons were blooming in Golden Gate Park. The kids playing ball on the green lawns. And spring sifting in the open window of his office on the 20th floor of the Hamilton building. As Dr. Paul Evans sat looking at an uninspiring assortment of x-rays of Mrs. Harrison's chest cavity.
Excuse me, Dr. Evans.
Oh, what is it, nurse?
There's a phone call from Mrs. John Cameron. Can you see her today?
Is it important?
She says so.
Well, they all do. When am I free?
Well, there's 12:30.
All right, I'll see her then.
But what about lunch?
I'll have to skip it. Mrs. Cameron's heart is undoubtedly more important than my lunch.
Yes, it could have been the way that it happened. Its startling suddenness throwing you off balance. Or maybe it was just spring in San Francisco. But most of all, it was a black-haired girl with blue eyes standing by the window when you looked up from your x-rays a half hour later. You remember exactly how she looked. The jersey dress with a gold belt and clip. The smart little felt hat accenting her dark hair, making you realize in a split second what was wrong with all the girls you ever knew. She must have come in while you sat at the film illuminator, looking at negative
evidence,
making
insufficiency, minor valvular lesions, plus slight enlargement.
You're Dr. Evans.
Right, I'll be with you in just a moment. Request detailed cardiograph immediately. Here we are. Please sit down. I'll get rid of this stuff. Now, you must be...
Oh. Hello.
How do you do?
I'm Carol Cameron.
Yes, the nurse said you were rather concerned about yourself.
Oh, it's not about myself. It's about my husband.
I see.
John Cameron, perhaps you've heard of him?
Stocks and bonds, isn't it?
Yes. Few too many, I'm afraid.
Oh?
He's been under a terrible strain recently. The night before last, he had a rather severe attack.
His heart?
Yes. Dr. Miles, our family physician, suggested I see you about it.
Where is your husband now?
Oh, at home. In bed.
Didn't Dr. Miles recommend the hospital?
Oh, well, John's awfully unreasonable. He wouldn't hear of it. Insisted he'd be up and around in a day or two.
That is unreasonable.
You'll see him, Dr. Evans.
Of course. I'll be glad to do what I can.
Just like that, Paul. A minute or so and she's gone. You look up, you see her. And 30 seconds later, she could ask if you'd mind going to the North Pole for her, and you'd tell her you'd be glad to. All afternoon, you try to shrug it off. Tell yourself it's fantastic, that this is the sort of thing that keeps you away from second-rate movies. But that evening, when you call on John Cameron, it's still there. Lucinda Withers, the housekeeper, is waiting outside the door after you finish your examination.
Where's Mrs. Cameron, Lucinda?
She went out for a moment, sir. Tell me, is it serious?
I'm afraid it is.
I knew it. I could see it coming on. He's like a son to me, Doctor. I've been with the family for 20 years now, since way before she came.
I see.
He was never like this before.
What do you mean by that?
She's not good for him. Worries him. Makes him nervous. Keeps him thinking about the 15 years between them.
I'll have a prescription sent over in the morning. I better be going now. My taxi's waiting outside. Just keep him as quiet as you can, and I'll check him again tomorrow.
Very well, Doctor.
Oh, Dr. Evans, just a minute.
I wondered what happened to you. I was just about to go. I left instructions with the maid.
How is he?
Angina pectoris. It's rather serious, I'm afraid.
Oh. He hasn't been taking very good care of himself.
He's got to now.
I see. Must you go right away?
I'm afraid I'd better. My taxi's waiting. Oh, I thought it was waiting. It doesn't seem to be there now. It That's odd. I told him to wait. I didn't even pay him.
Why? I'd be glad to take you.
I can't understand.
Oh, the car's down at the curb.
Oh, no, I couldn't. It'll only take a minute to call.
Oh, please, please let me. It's really no trouble.
All right.
I'll get my coat. There you are, Doctor. Right to the door.
It was awfully nice of you, Mrs. Cameron. Well, I guess the next thing to do is get out.
Oh, just a minute. I want to tell you I lied about the taxi. I told him to go.
Why?
Because I wanted to take you home.
I'm very flattered.
Well, that's all. I just wanted to tell you.
It happened to you too, didn't it?
Yes.
There's a friend of mine, Dr. Andrews, awfully good heart man. I'm sure he'll take
the
case.
Oh, please. Please don't do that.
What else can I do? It's only going to make it worse.
Oh, I know, but you... Well, you just can't throw away what's happened to us, can you? It'd be wrong to...
It'd be wrong to do anything else, Carol.
Is that what we're here for? Spend our lives looking for something that isn't there, then to suddenly find it, throw it away?
Please, Carol.
Well, shall we forget it?
I'll be around tomorrow with the prescription.
So that's the way it started, Paul. Yes, it was easy to analyze it, to list a million reasons why it was wrong. But the trouble was that when you were all through analyzing, it was still there, stronger than ever. You visit John Cameron the next day, and the day after that, and before you know it, the days have grown into weeks. And the night you arrange to meet her secretly at that little French cafe on Washington Street leads to a lot more of them. The two of you at the little corner table Pierre reserves especially, not saying much, just watching the flickering candles all around the room, listening to the music.
Well, it's been over a month now, Carol.
Yes. Hard to realize it.
Are you happy?
Happy and miserable.
Did you expect anything else?
No. I knew it was going to be this way. Just that I feel so helpless.
I'm glad you could come tonight, Carol, because I...
Because what?
Because I think this is going to be the last time.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Oh, don't you see how impossible it all is? We're both beating our heads against a stone wall. You're right, Carol, we are helpless. The only thing we can do is try and be square with ourselves. It just won't work any other way.
I suppose not. He'll probably go on like this for years.
He might if he's careful.
Oh, it's terrible to feel this way.
What way?
I can't help it, Paul. I almost wish he'd...
Carol.
Oh, it's true. I never loved him, Paul. My family thought he'd be good for me. I didn't want any part of it.
I know. You don't have to tell me.
He's unhappy. He's sick and miserable. It'll always be that way. Why should
Please,
he...
Please, Carol. This is going to be the last time. I mean it. I think I can get Andrews on the case next week. Look at me, Carol. It's going to work out somehow. In the right way. Will you believe that?
All right, Paul. If you say so.
Yes, Paul. It was the only thing to do. The honorable thing. Approved 100% by the Medical Association. But it doesn't help you sleep that night. And it doesn't help the next day when you make your regular call on John Cameron. Examine him. Find him the same. Leave his prescription bottle with Carol and go. Yes, it had to end, Paul. Because you were both beginning to think the thing that Carol almost said at the restaurant. That you both wish John would die. Then at 10 o'clock that night.
Hello?
Dr. Evans?
Yes?
You must come at once, Doctor. Mr. Cameron's had an attack.
I'll be right over, Lucinda. Now listen carefully. There's a bottle of amyl nitrite in the medicine cabinet in the bathroom. Break up a tablet and a handkerchief and make him inhale it. Is that clear?
It's too late for that, Doctor. I'm afraid he's dead.
With the prologue of tonight's story, Decision, the Signal Oil Company brings you another strange story by The Whistler. But first, a word of thanks to you for a very special honor you have bestowed on The Whistler. In the most recent radio survey, The Whistler received the highest popularity rating in all radio history for a West Coast program. Not just top popularity, mind you, but by far the highest popularity rating in the entire history of West Coast shows. That's an honor never before received by any other program. An honor for which we of the cast and all Signal dealers who bring you The Whistler want to thank you. For after all, we realize it's your loyalty to The Whistler that has made this honor possible. And believe me, with such an incentive, you can count on all of us to keep every performance our very best performance. So you'll continue to tune in the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Monday night. And incidentally, next time you're out driving, we also hope you'll stop at one of the friendly service stations displaying Signal's familiar yellow and black circle sign and try that other current Signal success, the new Signal gasoline. There's no better way to tune in top performance for your car than with that power-packed new super fuel that now helps you go farther than ever. New Signal gasoline. And now, back to The Whistler.
So it finally happened, Paul. John Cameron is dead.
But it hasn't affected you as you thought it would.
There was something so sudden about it. It happened so soon after you and Carol had decided to call it off. After she'd almost said what you'd both been thinking. Yes, there's something wrong with it. It just feels wrong. That's why after you've examined him, you turn to Lucinda.
Lucinda?
Yes, Doctor.
You were here when it happened?
Yes. Mrs. Cameron had given him his medicine and gone to bed. I heard him call.
What happened then?
He'd been violently sick. Said his throat was burning.
What do you mean?
That's right, sir. And he was all doubled up with cramps.
Oh, you're wrong. It must be.
It's the truth, sir.
Did you give him anything?
No. It was my night out. And I'd only just come in when
see,
all of
I
a
see.
Sudden...
Excuse me a minute.
Well, Paul...
Don't go in there. There's nothing you can do now.
I know. Well, it's over.
Carol...
Oh, don't say anything, Paul. I don't want to talk about it or think about it anymore, ever.
We've got to think about it.
I know. You don't have to tell me. Oh, he was all right this morning. Just as well as could be expected.
All right, Carol.
What happens now?
I won't say any more. You know what's ahead, I guess.
Of course. I'll be all right. Oh, it's just...
You better get to bed. You need some rest. I'll take care of everything.
It's almost midnight when you get back to the office and take the prescription bottle out of your pocket. The one you took from Carol's medicine cabinet. You forget to take off your hat and overcoat as you throw a few pieces of laboratory equipment together, dissolve the powder in water, and make a test. A very simple test.
Thiocyanin. I knew it.
Poison. Well, Paul, it's quite a decision, isn't it? You look down at the blank death certificate on your desk until the letters burn into your brain and you can see them when you close your eyes. It's the most important decision you'll ever have to make, Paul.
Is that what we're here for? To spend our lives looking for something that isn't there?
Then to suddenly find it and throw it away.
2 o'clock. 3, 4. All you can do is sit and stare at the desk, trying to think it through. Your medical certificates on one wall. The Hippocratic Oath in a neat black frame on the other. 6 o'clock, 7, 8. Then your nurse arrives.
Why, doctor, you've been here all night?
Yes, had an important case. Cameron. He's dead.
Well, it was only a matter of time.
Yes, I guess it was.
You were filling out the certificate?
You can fill it out for me. Death from natural causes. Angina pectoris acute.
Hello?
Carol?
Yes, Paul.
I've just filled out the death certificate.
Heart disease?
Yes.
They'll investigate.
You've got to be careful, awfully careful.
Oh, I will.
Poison isn't easy to cover up, Carol. They'd find it in a second if they ever got suspicious. So listen. I'll send the certificate over this morning. Take it to a mortuary right away and ask for cremation. If nobody gets curious during the next week, I think we'll be safe.
All right, Paul.
We mustn't be seen together under any circumstances. I don't want you to even telephone me if you can possibly help it. Okay?
Okay.
That's all, then. Good luck, darling.
Hello, Evans.
Oh, hello, Miles. How are you?
A little puzzled at the moment. Thought I'd drop in for a minute.
Sure, have a chair.
Thanks. It's about Cameron. I've had a rather distressing experience.
Oh?
You know, I've been their family doctor for some time. I didn't know Mrs. Cameron before she married John some years ago. But I've always thought her a rather charming person.
She seems to be.
You know her pretty well, Paul?
Well, naturally, in attending her husband, I...
Of course. You think she's a woman of character?
I'd say so.
So would I. Miss Lucinda Withers, however, seems to think she's a murderess.
What does that mean?
I don't know. The woman was completely confusing, a lot of rambling, disconnected remarks that seemed to imply that, you and Mrs. Cameron were in love. But there was a practical reason for her requesting cremation, when Cameron had always been against
it. Oh, what's wrong with that? Supposing she didn't know?
I just think, Paul, that you ought to do something about Miss Withers. You know as well as I that this sort of thing can ruin you.
Hello. Hello, Carol. Listen, darling. You've got to get Withers out of town. Yes, I know it'll make it look worse, but it's the only thing we can do. Where's her family? Idaho, good. Tell her she needs a rest, anything. I know it sounds crazy, but it's better than sitting around waiting for the axe to fall. That's it. Good luck, darling.
You're walking on thin ice, Paul. You can almost hear it cracking under your feet. And it seems to be getting thinner. The funeral on Thursday, then Friday, Saturday, and Lucinda's still in town. Carol was right. It only made it worse to try and get her to leave. You're just waiting now. It's only a matter of time. And then bright and early Monday morning...
Hello, Doctor. I'm Willard Stevens.
How do you do? I'm afraid I don't...
I'm John Cameron's cousin. Flew out from New York.
I see.
I have a rather delicate problem on my hands, Doctor. I hope you'll understand.
I'll try to.
About John's death. I had a letter from him indicating he planned to make certain changes in his will. It arrived just a day or two before he died. Does that suggest anything to you?
No, I'm afraid it doesn't.
You naturally ascribed his death to his heart condition.
Yes, naturally.
Well, I realize it would be embarrassing for me to contest your diagnosis. I'm hoping you'll work with me in...
In what?
Well, I had a talk with Miss Withers the night I arrived.
She's a meddlesome old fool.
No? How did you know?
Dr. Miles told me. Does that answer your question?
It answers that question.
I assume you have others, then.
Indeed, I have. And I'm afraid, Doctor, there's only one way to answer them.
What's that?
An exhumation and an autopsy.
So that's it, Paul. It's all over now but the trial. The next decision is easy, isn't it? It would be useless to try and run away. It would never lead to anything. You and Carol could never find happiness with an axe hanging over your heads. So the next day, during the autopsy, you sit at home quietly in the chair by the phone, waiting for it to ring.
Hello?
Hello, darling.
Is it over?
Yes. They're waiting downstairs to take me to the coroner's office. Paul, would you do me a favor?
Anything, Carol.
Will you leave now?
What do you mean?
Oh, look. If it's going to happen, there's no reason for it happening to... both.
Well, that's about the most ridiculous thing you ever
said. Paul, please, please,
go with them, Carol. I'll be down there in an hour. Carol,
there's
only one thing in the world right now. When that's gone, I don't want to be here anymore.
I hoped you'd say that.
Keep your chin up, darling. I'll see you in an hour.
Yes?
I'm Paul Evans.
Oh, this way.
All right, Lieutenant. There he is.
Just a minute, Miss Withers.
Make him admit it. He's in love with her. It's been going on
I said just a minute. What about it, Dr. Evans?
It's written all over his face.
All right, all right. I'm in love with Mrs. Cameron. So what?
The Whistler will return in just a moment with the strange ending of tonight's story. But first, a question. Why do you suppose it is that almost 5,000 of today's overaged cars are dying, going out of service each day? Are they completely worn out? Definitely not. But certain vital parts are worn out which can't be replaced today. That's why signal dealers take no chance of overlooking even one part when they lubricate your car. Instead, they use Signal's famous lubrication chart, on which the maker of your car shows every lubrication point and specifies which of Signal's 9 specialized oils and greases each part should have for long, trouble-free service. And to make doubly sure not a single part is missed, your Signal dealer checks each part against this chart not just once, but twice, which is why it's called Signal double-checked lubrication. This is just another example of the more thorough, more conscientious service your car gets from an independently operated signal station. Another reason your signal man is a mighty good man for you to know now, when you really want your car to go farther. And now, back to the Whistler.
So you stand there, Paul, shouting to the high heavens that you're in love with Carol, with all of them clustered around you like vultures. It doesn't seem to matter anymore, does it? There's a long silence, and then the police lieutenant slowly walks over to Lucinda Winter.
All right, Miss Withers. Now that we're all here, maybe you'll tell us why you tried to frame Mrs. Cameron.
I don't know what you're talking about.
On April 5th, you bought 100 grains of thiocyanin at the Black and White Pharmacy on O'Farrell Street, right?
I did no such thing.
You signed Evelyn Jones on the register.
That's a lie.
Is this the woman, Mr. Thurston?
That's the woman. I make a practice of remembering the faces of people who buy poison.
Oh, excuse me, Lieutenant. I'd like to sit down.
Oh, sure, Doctor. Take a chair over there. Now, Miss Withers, why did you try to frame Mrs. Cameron? Why did you put poison in the medicine you knew she had to give him?
I didn't.
Don't
do it.
Lie to me. What did you do with the bottle?
I didn't do anything with it. I left it in the...
Oh. You did have the bottle, huh? Now, why did you try to frame Mrs. Cameron? Why did you try to frame her?
She killed him. She killed him just as surely as if...
As if she put the poison in the bottle instead of you. That's it, isn't it?
She didn't love him. She never did. He was as good as dead.
So you thought you'd finish the job and hang it around her neck.
I gotta see Mrs. Cameron, Lieutenant. Where is she?
In the next room, lying down. Oh, go ahead, Dr. Evans. Now, Miss Withers, we're gonna take this all down right from the first.
Carol.
Oh, Paul.
Darling, I'm a fool. I thought all the time that you'd killed him after what you said.
Oh, I know you had every reason. When I think how I acted after it happened, but well, I thought it was you. You gave me his prescription that morning, and an hour after I gave it to him, he was dead.
So Lucinda killed him.
She thinks she did. They say they'll have a better case against her if they let her confess it first, before they tell her.
Tell her what?
Well, when you brought the new prescription that morning, the old bottle was still half full, and that's the one she put the poison in.
What?
That's the way it happened, Paul. You see, I used the new one the night he died. That's why I was so sure you did it.
But the prescription was perfectly all right. There was nothing...
Of course it was.
I was so sure he was poisoned. Those
symptoms... Oh, Lucinda was lying, Paul. About the burning in his throat and the cramps. Don't you see?
Then the autopsy was okay. There was no murder?
They're going to charge her with attempted murder, Paul. You see, your diagnosis was correct. John died of natural causes. Angina pectoris. Acute.
Next Monday at 9 o'clock, the Whistler will bring you another strange tale. The Whistler is broadcast for your entertainment by the marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil and fine quality automotive accessories, and by your neighborhood Signal dealer. This program produced by George W. Allen, with tonight's story by Harold Swanton, music by Wilbur Hatch, is transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler. This is Marvin Miller speaking, reminding you to look for those familiar yellow and black circle signs that identify those popular Signal Oil stations in 7 western states from Canada to Mexico. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure, pour me a cup, Gracie.
You know, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
And that drop's good, too.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With our special guest tonight, Meredith Wilson, Bea Benaderet, Hans Conried, Gail Gordon, Harry Lubin and the Maxwell House Orchestra, Bill Goodwin, and yours truly, Toby Reid.
For America's Thursday night comedy enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for America's everyday coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
As we join the Burnses tonight, we find them discussing the gala New Year's Eve party they're planning for tomorrow.
Gracie, we're going to have the greatest New Year's Eve party in town.
You bet we are.
Money is no object. I've hired an orchestra.
You did?
Yeah, and on New Year's Eve, musicians really come high.
And they leave even higher.
What about the food? Did you take care of that?
Mm-hmm, I bought 2 turkeys. Oh, and I hired a maid to pass around the hors d'oeuvres.
This is really going to be some party.
Mm-hmm.
I bought champagne.
You did?
Uh-huh. And at midnight, we'll fill our glasses and drink bottoms up.
Isn't that an awkward position?
Yes, it'll spoil my hat.
You know, darling, with an orchestra tomorrow night, you'll be able to sing your very best.
No. People don't want to hear me sing.
Oh, they do, too. And sometime before the party, be sure to learn that new popular song, Drop Dead.
with a popular song called Drop Dead?
Sure. Well, there must be. At every sociable, when you get up to sing, you say, oh, what would you like me to do? And everybody
else. Yes. That's my big hit. Oh, drop dead. You are the ideal of my dreams.
Is that how
it goes? That's how it goes. By the way, how many guests are coming?
Oh, I must have sent out 20 or 30 invitations. I invited a lot of old friends we haven't seen for a while. Meredith Wilson, good. Professor Kalkendorfer.
Wonderful. Gracie, you've really worked hard to make this party a success. I want to give you a kiss.
Well, thank you.
And tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, you'll get another one.
Gee, two kisses in one year.
You forgot the one on your birthday.
Oh.
That was a big one, too.
Mm-hmm. I hope everyone shows up for the party. I haven't had any replies to the invitations I sent out.
Well, did you say RSVP?
Of course not. I said, come to the party. Besides, dear, you don't have to spell things for me. RSVP. If you want to say Russ Voop, just say it.
You see, RSVP is not Russ Voop.
Oh. Come in.
Howdy, little lady. Howdy, little man.
Why, Mr. Judson, what a wonderful surprise. George, look who's here. Say hello to our dear friend from Texas.
How do you
do? Come in and sit down, Mr. Judson.
Well, thank you. First, I'll wipe off my boots. I don't want to get this dust on your rug.
Oh, what a gentleman. You're wiping your boots with a clean handkerchief just to save my rug.
No, ma'am, to save the dust. It's from Texas. After I shave, I use it for talcum.
Well, George, why don't you speak to Mr. Judson?
How do you
do? Well, tell us all about yourself, Mr. Judson. Why haven't you been to see us?
Well, my family's been in mourning, ma'am.
Oh?
Yeah, terrible tragedy. My sister. Young, pretty, never sick a day in her life.
You mean?
Yeah. She got married and moved to Oklahoma. Thank you, ma'am.
George, do you realize you haven't spoken to Mr. Judson?
It's not that
he isn't glad to see you, Mr. Judson. He's just shy. By the way, what brings you to California after all these months?
Well, now, I brought some fine Texas steers up here for the stock show. That reminds me, I've got to get back to my hotel and feed them.
You keep the steers in your hotel room?
Oh, why, sure. Well,
don't you get complaints?
Yeah. Yeah, them steers boil their heads off, but it's the best hotel you got. Well, I'll be moseying.
You're not budging until my husband has the decency to speak to you. George, we're waiting.
How do you do?
Is that any way to speak? Now, do it right. You'll have to excuse him, Mr. Jackson. He's got his mind on the big New Year's Eve party we're giving tomorrow night. Invite Mr. Jackson to the party, George. George, he's gone.
Yes, ma'am. He stepped into the next room.
Well, here, I'll give you one of the printed invitations I sent out. I had one left over, so I put it in this drawer just in case, you know. Oh, my goodness.
What's the matter, little lady? You sound distressed.
Oh, I am. Here are all the invitations to our New Year's Eve party. I forgot to mail them. Oh, George will be furious.
Yeah, he'll bellow like a short-tailed steer in fly time.
I better hurry out and see all the guests personally and beg them to come to our party. You'll come, won't you?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I got to get back to the ranch and help my wife. The hogs has been slaughtered, and by now she's probably smoking sausages.
Oh, I hope she doesn't inhale.
You hope she doesn't inhale.
Oh, I like your sense of humor, man.
But, Bill, you've just got to come to our New Year's Eve party tomorrow night. The Mortons and Bagleys can't make it, and Professor Kalkendorfer has other plans, too.
Well, so have I, Gracie. I promised to go to a party at Helen Burkett's house. We're going to do a little smooching.
Well, couldn't you come to our party for a while?
Well, no, I'll be tied up all evening.
Tied up? You won't have much fun if you can't use your hands.
Gracie, I mean, it's a date I can't break. You know, it's a real thrill to spend New Year's Eve with Hollywood's most glamorous blonde.
Yeah, well, I guess it is.
Sure, I can't rob the poor girl of that thrill.
Gee, I wish you'd change your mind. Bill, we're going to have two turkeys and George will sing.
That's three turkeys. But I still have to turn you down, Gracie. Your invitation comes too late.
Well, I better hurry along and try to get the other people. If this party doesn't come off tomorrow night, George may get so mad he'll walk out on me. He'll leave me to starve.
Well, don't worry. After he's starved a while, he'll come back.
Oh, but Mrs. Vandal, if we've paid for the food and musicians, then George's heart will be broken if no one comes to the party.
I'm terribly sorry, Mrs. Burns, but Chester and I plan to spend New Year's Eve with the Butterworths of Pasadena. We're friends of long standing.
If you come to our party, you can sit down.
No, we shall sit down. We shall sit before the fireplace and toast each other.
Oh, come to our house. We're using marshmallows.
We'll drink the toast in champagne. I love champagne. It makes me want to get up and dance, and the bubbles tickle my nose.
When you dance, you better not hold your bubble that high. I guess when you've had a few too many, you don't know what you're doing.
We will not get loaded, intoxicated.
Oh, Mrs. Vandalip, please say you'll come to our party. If you don't, I'll have to go home and face a horrible disaster.
Well, wish him a happy new year for me.
Well, Meredith Wilson is my last chance. I hope he's home.
Hello, all.
Meredith, how are you? Meredith, you were supposed to get a beautiful invitation to our New Year's Eve party, but I forgot to mail it.
Well, that probably accounts for my failure to receive it.
Yeah. So, I'm inviting you right now. You've just got to come. It means so much to George.
Oh, I'm afraid I have previous plans for tomorrow night, Gracie. I'm proposing to a lovely young creature. Just the type I've always wanted to marry. A girl.
Meredith, must you propose to this girl? George will be so disappointed.
Why? I've never given him any encouragement.
Disappointed if you don't come. Can't you propose at our party?
Oh, no, I fear that's too public. Besides, I've promised to kneel before the very sofa on which her father proposed to her mother.
Oh, did she accept him?
I presume so.
Do her folks approve of you, Meredith?
Oh, yes. Her entire family has taken me to their, if you'll pardon the expression, bosom.
How nice.
It's unfortunate that your party isn't tonight, Gracie, as my betrothed is working and I'm quite free.
Yes, if tonight were only New Year's Eve, all the people I invited could come, and they're... Meredith, I've got it.
What?
I'll make tonight New Year's Eve.
Well, have a care, Gracie. You are assuming powers greater than those of Petrillo.
I mean, I'll make George think it's New Year's Eve.
But that's 24 hours away.
That's the idea. He's going to bed early tonight, so I'll get all the guests over and wake George up and tell him he slept 24 hours.
That's a brilliant idea. Gracie, no one else has a brain like you, except possibly me.
Mm-hmm. We do make a great team. We're like those congressmen who support each other in Washington. When we put our heads together, it's a solid block.
One more day, friends, and Old Man 1948 will be ready for the history books.
There's a grand song that's part and parcel of this New Year's season, an age-old favorite. But now let's see if you name it after hearing only the mellow harmony. We'll help you out by adding the rich counter melody. And now to add the rhythm with good Scotch vigor. You'll be able to join in the chorus yourself as we blend in the full-bodied melody. Yes, it's the ever-popular Auld Lang Syne, a heartwarming favorite you've enjoyed many times, when all of its fine musical parts are expertly blended in a full, rounded orchestration. And friends, it takes the same expert skill in blending to create the famous heartwarming flavor that has made Maxwell House America's favorite brand of coffee. Yes, Maxwell House is famous for flavor. Superb, good to the last drop flavor no other coffee offers you. This mellow, deeply satisfying flavor is created by combining not one, but many choice varieties of coffee from the highlands of Latin America. First, Manizales coffees are selected for mellowness. Next, Medellins add richness. Other choice coffees give vigor. And Booker Among Us coffees are added for fine, full body. This perfectly balanced Maxwell House blend is then radiant roasted to flavor perfection and brought to you vacuum packed and roaster fresh.
And because you folks on the West Coast really know and enjoy coffee at its best, Maxwell House is blended and roasted for you right here on the West Coast to satisfy your critical tastes.
So tomorrow and all the year ahead, enjoy the extra flavor, the extra satisfaction that's yours in every cup of America's favorite brand of coffee, Maxwell House Coffee. Always good to the last drop.
Are enough people here to get the party started?
Oh, sure, Gracie.
Well, does everybody know everybody else? Meredith, you haven't met the Vandalips.
How do you do, Mr. Wilson?
How do you do? It's always a pleasure to widen my acquaintances.
Thank you.
By that, I mean I enjoy meeting new people. I'm sure that you and your wife are wide enough.
Well, I like that.
Oh, I knew you'd get along. Now, put on your paper hats, everyone, and I'll go in and wake George and tell him it's New Year's Eve.
Well, how long has he been in bed?
Oh, about 15 minutes.
Well, maybe he's still awake.
Oh, no, I don't think so. He was lying on his tummy, and that way he usually rocks himself to sleep. Now, I'll wake him up, and party can start. Happy New Year!
What was that?
It's New Year's Eve, dear.
It's New Year's Eve? This is Thursday.
Now, dear, it's Friday. You slept for 24 hours.
Are you going out of your mind?
Get out of bed. The guests are here for the party.
Guests?
Well, sure, listen. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Get dressed, dear.
I must be dreaming. Hand me my robe.
Here.
I don't believe this. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
I feel like I only slept a few minutes.
You slept 24 hours, you sleepyhead. You naughty boy.
24 hours? Why didn't you wake me?
Oh, I didn't have the heart, darling. You were so tired.
Funny thing is, I still am.
Now, the guests are waiting. Come on, I'll help you out of your nightshirt. Close your eyes.
Close my eyes?
My nose is shiny.
I feel so tired.
blow your horn, George. Having a good time?
Yeah, fine, fine. 24 hours and I'm still tired.
Yes, George slept for 24 hours. He's a regular Rip Van Wrinkle.
That's Winkle.
I like it her way.
Now, before we start the entertainment, Tallulah will pass the hors d'oeuvre. Tallulah, stop trying to date Bill Goodwin.
Why, Mrs. Burns, such a thought never crossed my mind as sure as my name is Tallulah Schwartz. Hollywood 5264.
All right. Pass the hors d'oeuvre.
Oh, if you mean the weenies, they ain't burled yet.
Well, please go and burl them. Meanwhile, while we're waiting for the hors d'oeuvre, Meredith Wilson will play a flute solo.
Well, good. That's...
Well, thank you. Gentlemen of the orchestra, may I please have an introduction to the Andante Cantabile from Zigeunerweisen.
Well, Meredith, what's the matter?
I forgot to bring my flute.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Oh, isn't this gay, George? George, wake up.
Huh?
Yeah, you're not enjoying yourself. Here, blow your little horn, dear. Now we're rolling.
I'm so tired, I can't understand it.
I'll open it.
Right, here is Professor Korkendorf, huh? I guess I'm too early. There's nobody here yet.
Let's show them, gang.
Happy New Year!
Somebody spoke?
Yes, Professor, everyone's here. Now hang up your coat and join the party.
Oh, yeah, I hang it up here on this nice long hook.
Take your coat off my nose. Can't you see?
Of course I can see. I got ice like a hog.
So long, Professor. Where have you been?
Oh, I was experimenting with a little monkey, and I couldn't tear myself away.
Oh, interesting work, huh?
No. Strong monkey.
George! George, look who's here. George, wake up. Oh, you're not having fun, dear. Blow your little horn. Professor
Korkendorfer. Okay. 24 hours as I slept and I'm bushed.
Well, look who's here, Professor.
The monkey followed me.
this is my husband.
Such a nice girl to marry a monkey.
Oh, fine.
Well, now that all the guests have arrived, Tallulah, pass the hors d'oeuvre.
Okay. I got your weenies here. They're red hot. Weenies, anybody? Schultz and Newman's weenies. They're skinless.
She means the weenies. Schultz and Newman both have skin.
Have a weenie, Bill.
Oh, thanks, Tallulah. What's the good word?
Hollywood 5264.
All right. And now it's time for games. You can play too, Tallulah.
Oh, much obliged, I'm sure.
Well, I would like to suggest a game. It's called Word Association.
Well, how's it played, Mr. Vanderlip?
Well, we stand in a circle, and someone says a word, then the next person says whatever word that reminds them of, and so on around. Now, let's make a circle. Mrs. Burns, may I have your hand?
No, I'm already married.
I only want to hold it. Now, come on, everyone.
You take my hand, Professor Korkendorfer.
Oh, sure. My, you got such hot fingers.
Get your hand out of the weenie.
Please.
Now, if anyone says a word that doesn't fit, they must leave the circle and go into the next room. All right, we'll start with the gems. Diamond.
Sapphire.
You're next, George. Wake up.
Huh?
Oh, you're not having fun, dear. Blow your little horn.
I'll start again and we'll skip your husband. Diamond.
Sapphire.
Ruby.
Pearl. Emerald.
Maxwell House Coffee.
That's a gem.
Oh, you said it, brother. What a coffee, rich, delicious, mellow. Only Maxwell House gives you that good-to-the-last-drop flavor.
Mr. Goodwin, we are all aware that Maxwell House is delicious, but you cannot mention it unless someone else says a word that legitimately suggests coffee.
Oh, I see. Well, let's start again, then.
Diane.
Sapphire. Ruby.
Pearl. Emerald.
Donut.
Donut?
Thank you, Maxwell House coffee. What's donut without Maxwell House? That rare blend of the choice Latin American coffees. Radiant roasted to the peak of flavor perfection.
Mr. Goodwin, go into the next room.
Okay.
Now we'll start again with another category. England.
Austria. Sweden.
Maxwell House coffee.
Why did you say Maxwell House coffee?
I want to go in the other room with Bill Goodwin.
Shall we try vegetables as a category? Lettuce.
All right, what's stopping it?
I was naming a vegetable. Lettuce.
Rutabaga. Corn.
Maxwell House coffee.
You too?
I want to go in and see what Bill and Tallulah are doing. Matt, think I'm crazy or something?
Well, that does it. The game's over.
Maxwell House coffee.
We're not playing anymore.
Who's playing? I want some Maxwell House coffee. It's so delicious.
Oh, say, that's a good idea. I'll go make some. Have fun while I'm gone, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Are you having fun, George? Quiet. Now, I think the time has come for us to hear a song from the most talented member of the Burns family.
Oh, that's a swell idea. Sing for us, Gracie.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no, I don't mean me. Besides, I'm not a good singer. Huh?
Oh, you're swell, Gracie.
Oh, I'm not. Huh?
Well, really, Gracie, you're an excellent vocalist.
Oh, I'm terrible. Huh?
Yeah. Look, would you like to hear from me?
Yeah, blow your little horn.
Calling to me, not the balmy air nor the tropical sea. It's a little brown gal in a little grass skirt, in a little grass shack in Hawaii. It isn't Waikiki, nor Kamehameha's Polly, nor the beach boys free with their old Molly Molly. It's a little brown gal in a little grass skirt, in a little grass shack in Hawaii. Through that island wonderland, she's broken all the Connie's heart. It's not hard to understand, for that Wahine is a gal of parts. Even soon, the thrill I'll enjoy, it's not the island moon, the fish or the poi. It's a little brown gal in a little grass skirt, in a little grass shack in Hawaii. Grand finale of our party. Everyone be real quiet, and we'll hear from my husband, Sugar Throat Burns. Oh, the poor darling, he's sound asleep. Shall I wake him up so we can sing?
No.
Well, then I guess the party is over. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Where am I? Gracie! See, everybody's gone. I can't get over it. 24-hour sleep and I couldn't stay awake at my own party. Well, I better get my Rose Bowl tickets out of this drawer. Got to start early in the morning. Holy smoke, what's this? All the invitations to a New Year's Eve party. Gracie didn't mail them. What goes on here? Hello, operator. Hello, operator. Operator, tell me, is this New Year's Eve? No, I'm not plastic. It isn't? That's tomorrow night? Thanks.
So the whole thing was one of her tricks, huh? Well, here's where I get even.
Good. She's sound asleep. Happy 4th of July!
What happened?
Get up, Gracie. It's the 4th of July. You've been asleep 6 months.
Oh, how wonderful. Now I can go out and buy all new summer clothes.
For me, nothing.
Now, here again are George and Gracie.
Ladies and gentlemen, George and I want to wish you all a very, very happy new year. Blow your little horn, dear.
I can't, dear. I swallowed it. Gracie, I've got a surprise for you. Next Thursday, our guest star will be Gregory Peck.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I'll feel kind of silly standing alongside of a big, handsome guy like Peck next Thursday.
Oh, don't worry, George. You'll have something he won't have.
What?
All the straight lines.
Good things.
The easy way.
Do you like good things the easy way? Then get instant Maxwell House coffee.
So good.
So good. True coffee flavor and fragrance, because instant Maxwell House is not a so-called coffee product. It's all pure Maxwell House coffee in instant form.
So easy.
Instant Maxwell House means great coffee instantly in your cup. No fuss, no muss, no bother. Today, try Instant Maxwell House. Instantly good to the last drop. Until next Thursday, when our special guest will be Gregory Peck, good night and good luck and a happy new year from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. Meredith Wilson appears through the courtesy of the Jell-O family.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started into hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. Best is yet to come, and babe, won't that be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? Best is yet to come, come the day you're mine. I'm gonna teach you to fly. We've only tasted the wine. We're gonna drain the cup dry. Wait till your charms are ripe for these arms to surround. You think you've flown before, but baby, you ain't left the ground. Wait till you're locked in my embrace. Wait till I draw you near. Wait till you see that sunshine place. Ain't nothing like it here. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine, and you're gonna be mine.
Now the entire ensemble, the Andrews sisters, Nat King Cole, the Rhythm Ayers, and I, we're going to join hands here, join voices in John Scott Trotter's arrangement of Meredith Willson's fine song of good wishes and faith.
May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
May the good Lord bless and keep you. Whether near or far away, may you find that long-awaited golden day today.
May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortune 10 times 10. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree. May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see.
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree. May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see.
Every cloud you see. Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet.
Till we
Well, guys, that does it for our New Year's Day Part 2 episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I want to give you guys a quick update on a schedule change. Instead of every Tuesday and Friday, from now on for 2023, it is going to be every other Tuesday and Friday. So that way I can have a week to make sure I give y'all the best content I can. I hope you guys had a wonderful and blessed New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And Happy New Year. Stay tuned for the coming weeks, guys, as I bring such stars as Miss Claire Trevor. The NBC comedy show Father Knows Best, and many others. If you like the show, please comment and subscribe. You can subscribe on your favorite podcast platforms such as Spotify, Google, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcast. Just type in Mystery and Comedy Old Time Radio Podcast, and it'll pull my podcast right up. Hope you guys have enjoyed the show, and have a wonderful day. And once again, guys, Happy New Year to all my listeners and subscribers. Have a wonderful day. And always remember, once again, guys, to enjoy the show. Thanks.